Thank you so much for your prayers and your warm wishes. I was out on Monday and Tuesday, coming after last week, when so many of you gave and gave and gave. Some people gave more than once. And I just want to tell you how much Justina and I appreciated your love and your support. And we appreciated you putting some skin into the game, which means, as we have often said, this show belongs to us. Not only did we make our goal, we tripled it, folks. That's how much you gave. That's how we like to roll. That's how we like to stand solid. Now, all I'm asking you to do now, since you pledged all the money, just make sure that that credit card goes through when we try to run it, that the folks sending their checks, go ahead and drop your checks off. If you're doing cash, drop it off. Because we love the pledges, we'll be even more happy when we can close the books. For us, and for Justina in particular, closing the books means we've gotten all the money that people have donated and we can end it. We have a couple of folks who are supposed to get 16, 19 books. They're going out in the mail. We got you covered. We have two people, because one person donated $2,000, one person donated $1,000. They're going to co-host with me. Somebody donated $500. We got you for the book with Camille Cosby and her signature. We got you covered, folks. Folks that donated a certain amount of money, I'm going to talk to you in the credits of my new book. We got you covered. Now, you may note that I'm sounding a bit nasally today. I am not 100% better. I am not. I like to believe I'm 70% better. Justina's saying 50% better. Nevertheless, I was so anxious and excited to get year three started with you. We count the years with our pledge drive. We ended year two with last week's pledge drive. We are now in year three. I was so excited to get year three started. I got myself up here. I said the weekly wrap is a good day to come back. Now, if I'm not here tomorrow, it means I relapse. But the hope is that I'm doing better. We're having our weekly wrap. We're talking about everything from Popeye's chicken and people fighting to the fact that the prison rates in Maryland are higher than any other state in this country, including Georgia, South Carolina, and Mississippi. Black folks make up 31% of the population here in Maryland. We make up 70% of the prison population. There is something that is disgusting about that. There's something that is overwhelming about that. Racism is killing our black men. We could talk about that. You can give me a call and talk about anything you want to talk about. 410-319-8888. Michael from Reisterstown, how are you? You were holding on. I want you to finish your story. Ma'am. Go ahead, sir.
I'll make it real quick. And I was talking about my son, how it's important to stay behind your children and education, especially those boys, because being involved in the school system, I see how the system work against the males and how they try to work against my sons, but they had succeeded. And my youngest one that I talked about, 21 years old and graduating, been on the dean list ever since he's been in college and being 21, and already NASA had offered him a job.
There you go.
And when he went in there, he came out, he said, "Dad, it reminded me of that movie, Hidden Figures. I'm the only African-American in there."
You tell him to stand tall. He's standing there for all of us.
Yeah, and I told him, I said, "Okay, well, you show them how smart we are."
There
so
you
have to stick behind your kids and show them that they have a strong reinforcement around them. And you keep up the good work, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
This flu is killing
Thank you. I'm telling you. Folks, what's interesting is something that Michael said. You know something that Ibram Kendi said? He said that white privilege gives you the freedom to have a life. Means that you can walk freely and you don't have to think about carrying the entire race on your shoulder. I said to Michael, I'm so excited for his son, that, hey, he's standing for all of us. My hope is that that doesn't add additional pressure, because there is an additional pressure when you're thinking, well, I have to represent all black people rather than just, as white folks are able to do, represent myself. Ibram Kendi said the inverse to white privilege is black deprivation. The fact that black folks have to constantly and consistently stand and represent and speak for the entire race, and it is exhausting. We have Troy on the phone. Troy, how are you?
Hello?
Troy, are you with us? How you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. First of all, speedy recovery to you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I want to hit on two things real quick. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I think you have a co-host named Ja. She has a radio show at like midnight.
Yes.
1 to 6. I want to say shout out to her. I'm glad she's doing her thing. Secondly, I want to shout out all the sports programs, especially the Baltimore basketball community.
Yes.
They always do great things during the summertime for kids to stay out of the streets and whatnot. So I'd like to give a big shout out to them as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Troy. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. And I have one more thing about the kids. I'm a young father, young black male father of a 5-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And I can say that initially I did not want to have kids, because there are so many things out there that can harm your kids, whether it's the government, whether it's the food you eat, whether it's predators, child molester, even family members.
Just about everything. Yep.
Everything. And I don't think I was ready to take that toll emotionally, but it's a slow learning process. And I just want to say to all the young fathers out there, keep doing you. It's going to come out in the end.
I like that.
And support each other.
Thank you so much. Father, support each other. Think about what Matt Presbury is doing with the Black Fatherhood Foundation. You can go online and find him on Facebook. We have folks, let me tell you where you are in the queue so you'll know where you are in terms of holding on. We're going to go to Jay next, and after Jay, we're going to come to Marvin, and then Susie, and then Will. Jay, hello. How are you? Jay from Laurel on line 3. Are you with us? All right, we seem to have lost Jay from Laura. Let's go to Susie from Towson. Susie, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
So I just wanted to relate your topic to actually what we see in the school system. I would like for you to look up this data, because it came up where we were talking about it.
Okay.
System. And I'm not only talking about Baltimore City, right, but even the county is not any better. Right. So... also, if you look in terms of IEPs, we have more black males that have IEPs that they do not need compared to their white counterparts.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
So they're already setting them for failure.
Yeah, no, you're everything you're saying is absolutely true. There's a lot. There's a study, the one you're talking about, it came out in the Washington Post last year about how implicit racial bias causes black boys to be disciplined at schools more than their white counterparts. They're suspended more, they're disciplined more. Yeah, it came out last year.
I invite you to look at what's going on in the county this year.
Okay, I will. I will. Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
No problem, Sharon. Susan, we're looking into it right now. We have, let's see who's been on the hold for quite a while. We have Donna on the phone from Baltimore. Donna, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I tell you, you're talking about a lot of good stuff. there's a book called Mothers Who Can't Love, Healing Guide for Daughters. Because we definitely need to continue to focus on protecting the rights and life of our black men,
right,
and our black boys. But we always are forgetting our young women. And you had a gentleman call many moons ago who talked about this white black families adopting white children. Well, that's totally true. I mean, because they will, the adoption fields will not let that happen. No way.
No.
The only time you will see that is if there's an unadoptable foster care child, because the child has a lot of problems, emotional behavior, and they have a black family maybe foster caring that because white families have rejected it. So you'll see occasionally that, but white family, black people are not adopting or overwhelming a lot of black children. They have to be kids with a lot of issues.
Right.
And they have to be older children. They're not infants, because that's not going to happen in this society.
And that's another, something we will look into. We don't actually have the facts and figures for that, but thank you so much.
I looked into it myself.
Thank you.
Somebody raised that same concern, and I have a social worker tell me the same thing.
Okay, good.
That you only see it among older children.
Okay.
Foster care, who are most difficult to place. And, you know, because when it comes to foster care, they really don't care at this point when they're most difficult children.
Right.
Another thing is, when we focus on our black mothers, well, the question is, it's not a question, and the concern I've had for years is, why do we have so many women, African-American women, with babies going into the foster care system? That is a national
right. It is.
And nobody, the Congress, the state of Maryland, nobody has done studies. I'm not talking about Hopkins.
Right.
I'm talking about black women, black psychologists. They know what's causing it. But we, because we have a lot of African-American women with a lot of mental health issues, trauma, whatever, and a lot of the kids are removed or have to be taken to protect them. But we have to get into the serious heart of why so many of our women are failing in caring for their children and their mental health. I mean, it's a crisis, and we should be alarmed. So when I looked at this book, Mothers Who Can't Love, people have to understand, not all mothers can love their children.
Right.
Just because they gave birth does not mean they're taking care. And I know women who have given birth to 5, 6 kids, and they have no will to raise those children. So we have to, and maybe one day, Dr. K, and I know, black brothers, I commend you, because you're doing a lot. But we really, if our boys are being born out of our mothers with a lot of trauma, we have to also focus on these mothers if we're going to save the children, whether they're boys or girls. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. I appreciate you, folks. Just to kind of give you some of the statistics from the foster care statistics from 2017, there are roughly about 437,465 children in foster care. Out of that number, 44% are white, which makes sense because that is right now the majority population. 23% are black. That's the number that concerns us. We only make up 14% of the population. They said out of 41 to 42 million black folks, 10 million of them are children. So if 10 million of the number of black folks in this country are children, 23% of the folks in foster care, the children, are black. 410-319-8888. We have Professor Marvin Perry on the phone from Morgan State University. Professor Perry, how are you, sir?
Dr. K, it's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
And I wish you a speedy recovery and continue to take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
And if you decide to run for mayor, you will be an excellent candidate.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to call and tell I'm representing someone else. I will be representing you if you decide.
Thank you.
Education, education, education. I just want to talk about a couple quick facts here. Morgan State University, actually from the School of Architecture and Planning, under the leadership of Dean Marianne Akers and Professor Green, actually did a tourism plan for the Harriet Tubman Eastern Shore. So you should invite them on your show.
I definitely will.
Green. And just to let you know that although they embrace having Harriet Tubman in that space, they failed to tell the story on how many of the shop owners or business people benefited from slavery down in those areas. And as far as housing and the educational system for people of color, it still has a long way to go. And so as we go to little towns like that, we even see an infrastructure that promotes the pipeline from school to prison, right, rather than school to college,
right,
rather than high school to college. So we have to pray for those folks and be cognizant of the fact that even though we look like we have come a long way,
right,
we still have others who suffer because of Harriet Tubman. So to go see Harriet Tubman shouldn't be to evaluate how well and who's, you know, giving money, but it should be a movie that you go to see just to understand our history and to know it happened in our backyard. And the next thing I wanted to say, when you were talking about the incarceration of African-Americans, especially African-American males, you know, I'm all for that nothing just happened by happenstance. And when something happens, it has been a kind of a strategic plan that has been in the works for years. And we have to understand that if we don't continue to improve on our education, have stricter gun laws, right, have a very serious state's attorney as well as a governor who's going to support the commissioner here in Baltimore, that we can fall on the same ills as many of our urban cities in which we are now.
Right.
And that is crime and the murder rate won't be resolved unless finances are put in that city. I think economic development is so important for Baltimore that if we want to see a change in where we're going, we need folks to open their purses and their wallets and give more money to Baltimore City so we can start putting it in the right place.
I like what you said. Education, education, education. And then, of course, putting money into the city, resources, leading it. Like, there's a lot more people need to do, but we need to get educated first and then figure out how to use our best effort in the areas where we can drill deep. We all can't do everything, right, Professor Perry? I'm saying people find the areas where you can lean in and then stand in those areas.
And worry about the chicken some other time.
Yeah, right? I agree. Come on now, Professor Perry. Thank you so much, sir. We have Will on the phone from Pikesville. Will, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Hope you bless yourself.
I am. Thank you, sir.
Listen, I went to see the movie Harriet. I was deeply moved by the movie. It had me in tears throughout most of the movie. Best movie ever produced. And I tell you, I saw black people going to see The Joker, the worst movie I ever saw in my life, as well as The Addams Family. I think it's tragic that our race doesn't have more appreciation of its freedom and that people don't go ahead and give the movie Harriet a chance. It not only shows the greatest woman that ever lived, but it also shows God, which I should have mentioned first of all.
Right.
You know, it's such a moving. I told everybody in my church about it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. I agree. I really appreciate that. Folks, I'm just saying, the movies that we historically have supported, and note, when I say this, I am not trying to dictate how you spend your money. I'm just saying, if we want more movies that dictate our stories, if we want more movies to portray who we are, if we want more movies about the people that our children should be seeing, we've got to get out and support it. Come on now, folks. I'm not going to get into the movies that we have supported. I'm not even going to go down the path, Keon, of talking about the Avengers. I'm not. I'm not going to talk about people seeing the Avengers over and over and over again, because that movie crosses all racial lines, even though ain't no black people in the lead. I'm just going to put that out. That in the original Avengers, there are no black people, yet we go and support them. There are movies we go and support where there are no black people in the universe, and yet we go and support them. So if we want to be smart and wise about how we spend our dollars, here's a movie about probably one of the greatest black women. And you know what, folks? Let me stop here. How about one of the greatest Americans to ever live? I'm talking among black women, among white women, among black men, among white men, among... Hey, Harriet Tubman stands a foot above all of them. You can put her up against anyone in this country, from George Washington to George Washington Carver, and I guarantee you that none of them will stand as tall as Harriet Tubman, because Harriet Tubman was the only one who said, I'm free, I'm going back so my people can be free. And even if she only went back one time, the fact is she went back and Frederick Douglass didn't. She went back and Henry Box Brown didn't. She went back and hundreds of others did not. And she did it more than once. Harriet Tubman stands a foot above all of them. You should go out and support the movie and do it twice. How about that? 410-319-8888. I have Sharon on the phone from Maryland. Sharon, how are you?
Well, Dr. Kay, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So I agree with you. We should all go out and see Harriet Tubman. And we can also get involved with our call to action for the Maryland HBCUs.
Yes.
We're holding a rally next Wednesday in Annapolis at 1 o'clock. So it's an opportunity for people not just to watch a movie, but be part of making history as we begin to march towards 100 days of action to ensure that the Maryland HBCUs get the money for programming, for marketing, and for scholarships that the federal judge said that Maryland HBCUs are entitled to according to the United States Constitution.
Absolutely. Thank you so, much. Yeah, I like
Wednesday,
that, Sharon.
Next Wednesday, 1 o'clock in Annapolis. You can go on the website of www.savemdhbcu.org.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Ankh on the phone. Ankh from Mount Vernon. How are you, sir? All right. We'll go with Ryan from Northeast Baltimore. How are you, Ryan?
This is Ankh.
Hey, Ankh. How are you, sir?
I'm still vertical, babe.
I know that's right. I'm barely vertical. Let me just be very clear. I'm barely vertical here.
Yeah. What about a statue of Harriet Tubman and Mount Vernon replaced by Roger B. Taney?
Yes.
Think about that.
Yes, I'm putting that down. I'm thinking that we should be at the point where all the statues of the people who work against our freedom should not be able to stand up anyway. Let's take them all down.
Yeah, there's another. And did you see the mural painted of Harriet Tubman down Eastern Shore?
Yes. Not only did I see it as a picture, I spoke at the Eastern Shore at the Harriet Tubman Museum and took pictures outside. That was a powerful, and it is a powerful mirror of Harriet Tubman reaching her hand. And what I saw with this is like Harriet Tubman saying, "Will you come? Will you come?"
A white boy painted it, didn't he?
Yes, but the idea is that that painting is very powerful. I like the rendition of it. I mean, do you not like it?
It was painted by a white boy, you know.
But now, that aside, I'm just going to ask you, that aside, do you appreciate the mural? Because when I looked at it, I didn't think about the race of the painter. I didn't. I did not think about that at all. I thought about the painting in and of itself. It's by Michael Rosato, who's an artist who lives in Dorchester County. But if you look at the mural and the statement that it makes, you can't tell me that you weren't a bit moved. But take the artist out of it. The actual painting, the mural, didn't move you at all?
I like to see a statue of Mount Vernon.
Okay, I agree. On the way, let's just deal with this mural. This is Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. We'll be right back. Bruce and Ryan, don't hang up. I'm coming to you after the break.
Perfect day, I know that I can count on you. Ooh. When that's not possible, tell me, can you weather the storm?
Welcome to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're into the last half hour of the first day that I'm back since I have been out sick, which officially begins year 3 of the program. Think about that. We celebrated our 2-year anniversary on October 2nd, and we like to count it. Oh, thank you. Justina's bringing me blankets in here, folks. This is so sad. So pitiful up in here behind the scenes. It's just pitiful, let me just say. So I had to come back today because we wanted to get year 3 kicked off. We are into the third year. So this year, next year, we're going to be celebrating our third year anniversary. 3 years of having Today with Dr. K on the air. So because you gave and you gave and you gave, we are set and we are solid for another year of programming. I am excited about that. And I could not wait to get out of my sick bed to come here and just tell you that we did it. Thank you so much for standing in the gap, for leaning in, for stepping up, for putting some skin in the game. Thank you for believing in me and Justina so much that you were willing to give what you had to be able to keep this show on. Hold us accountable. Make sure that we're doing the job that you are supporting. 410-319-8888. It's the weekly wrap. Couple of stories on the table. People fighting the Popeyes. What's up with black folks? I'm saying. How about on a separate but perhaps connected topic? Came out today that black folks make up 70% of the prison population here in Maryland. There is something very disturbing about that, folks. And what does it mean that right now, when we think about the prison population here in Maryland, there are more black men in prison here than in Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina? Think about that, folks. Places where we know black folks are dealing with discrimination and racism and white supremacy and white nationalism. Not those places. Maryland is what we're drilling into. And there's something that's quite disturbing about that, particularly given the fact that black folks only make up 31% of the population in Maryland. So if that is the case, what is happening where black men, prison population in Maryland, black men, it's more than double the national average. The national average is 32%. Here in Maryland, 70%. Like, my head is hurting thinking about what that means. We exceed everyone. Something wrong with those numbers. The rates of incarceration for young black males is the highest of anywhere in the country. If you're talking about places that you need to be concerned about your sons, I would think it would be Mississippi. I would think it would be South Carolina. I would think it would be Georgia and Tennessee. No, no. Maryland, folks, where you live and where I live. We have Ryan on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Ryan, welcome to the Weekly Wrap.
Hey, Dr. K. Just wanted to say how much I appreciate this show. And I had a coworker stop me the other day at the school, and she told me that you and Faraji had given me a shout-out.
Yes, Ryan fan, right?
Yep.
First of all, let me ring my bell for you, and let me tell folks who you are. Folks, Ryan Fan, I would say, is one of the biggest individual supporters of both Today with Dr. K and Faraji. He wrote a piece in Medium.com, and Faraji read it on the air. I was in my sick bed, but I called in because Ryan talked about how, you were such a big supporter of this show. You found the station by accident, and even though you don't necessarily agree with everything Faraji and I say, you're so committed to the platform that in one drive time, folks, he donated $730. He started off listening to my show, donated $100, and then during Faraji's show twice, he called in and donated $365. I want to know, Ryan is a teacher. He teaches in special education. He said, my money is very tight, but I have found a way to stretch it to be able to support WEAA. And we told Ryan on the air that we would be willing to come to his show, come to his school, give him a T-shirt, give him a bag. But we want to support you, Ryan, in the ways in which you have supported. I know a lot of people have given, but the fact that you wrote it up and in that note, that letter that you wrote for Medium.com, to just put in words what we try to do every day, as we try to bring issues with passion, with concern, with tenderness, and with care to anyone who's listening. We educate African Americans and anyone else who's listening. So, Ryan, thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you, Dr. K. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, so I look forward to visiting your school. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to check with your principal and get back to me about some days. I visit schools all the time.
Yep.
And so I look forward to coming, visiting your school, and to bringing for your students a set of the 1619 magazines. So we'll bring enough for every one of your students. And we'll bring, I'm looking at Justina, we'll also bring some of our Today with Dr. K bags for your students. But we just want to thank you for your commitment to the show and to both my show and Faraji's show.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
And thank you for calling. So let me know about a date. So as soon as you get a date, I want to let people know that I want to, you know, I want to make good. I want to come and visit, see your students.
Yeah. So I appreciate everything you said at Quest too. So I was there, and then I heard you talk first, and it was really cool.
Yeah, I read what you said when you said that meeting me was the closest you come to meeting a celebrity, folks. It was his piece was quite overwhelming for me. It was. It really touched my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for seeing us.
Yep, thank you, Dr. K. But on the topic about how 70% of the sick from Maryland, and this is something I struggle with, and I guess a lot of other teachers struggle with too, but I mean, you've taught in Baltimore City Schools, and just how much, like, the school system can, or just the inner city schools can kind of run like prisons, you know?
Yes.
And we, I discussed this with a friend, a very close friend of mine, and, you know, it's almost like the school-to-prison pipeline, but you don't know, like, in the daily operations of your school if there is a better way, you know? And I don't know, like, and that's something I struggle with personally as well.
No, and I'm glad you said that. Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate that. Folks, we often talk about, and we've heard this language before, you know, prison, you know, the pipeline, the school-to-prison pipeline, the classroom-to-prison pipeline, the community-to-prison pipeline. You know what? Pipelines exist because somebody has created them. I want to be clear that pipelines don't just sprout up. If there is a pipeline that's taking African-American young people from their communities into the prison, it's because somebody, typically the white racist system, has set up the pipeline. They've done the work to establish it and to maintain it. It is not as if we've set our own pipelines up, because we have not. I like to talk about disrupting the pipeline. We've got to come up with some solutions here. We've got to have the Maryland, the Baltimore City State's Attorney here. We got to lean in a little bit harder, because 70% is unacceptable. 70% means you and I shouldn't be sleeping tonight. Well, how can we? How can we sleep knowing that Maryland has more black people in prison than any other state in the country? Like, think about that, folks. More than Georgia, more than South Carolina, more than Mississippi. We have more than double the national average right here in Maryland. The national average is 32%. Here in Maryland, it's 70%. How are you sleeping at night? Because I know I'm not. You can't. You can't sleep at night knowing that we have that many people of color, black folks, in the prison system. Because what they're telling us, folks, they are leading us to believe that we are predisposed to violent behavior. And I categorically reject that. We're not. We are not predisposed to violent behavior. Look at the conditions in which our children are born in. And then we can track the behavior. The years of 105 years of racist segregationist policies here in Baltimore City. Then we won't be surprised when we look at these numbers. Hey, look at what's happening when someone like Dante Harris gets life with the possibility of parole. And we could turn it back around and have Dante Harrison's friends in the house, his accomplices, get 30 years at the age of 15 and 16, folks. We have Bruce on the phone from Owens Mills. Bruce, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good, good. I want to call about that prison pipeline.
Yes.
That has been systematically been put into place for decades.
Yeah.
But here's where, as African-Americans, I say we need to be very, very careful on what we do to break this, because I honestly believe that we are slowly but surely being placed back into segregation.
Ooh.
From police killings,
yeah,
to the epidemic on black males.
Ooh.
The only way, and we've been talking about it forever, that the only way we get a just society is to be able to police ourselves.
Ooh.
We do not trust the mass majority. But on the downside to that, if we do go back into a society to where we have more of a black society watching over us to make sure we have just laws, when we do not have our people just being put in and out of jails and just like you said, and being perceived as being violent,
yes,
crazy. No.
Come on.
Then that puts us in a situation, especially here in the United States, of knowing exactly where the mass majority of all your black people are.
Oof.
Which is a very dangerous place to be.
So this is disturbing.
We really have to have a sit down to where we are dotting the I's and crossing the T's, because our reality is no joke.
No, it's not. It's not. I like that idea. Thank you so much, Bruce. Folks, we need to police ourselves, but we got to talk about what that looks like. We also need to talk about the fact that they were putting something on the table saying that after 15 years, prisoners, incarcerated residents, should be able to petition for resentencing. You know, that could change the game. But to do that, we need to make sure we have mechanisms in place in the communities to reintroduce them back into their communities. If you come out and you have no job, you've been in jail for 15 years, what's going to happen, folks? We have Charles from Baltimore. Charles, how are you?
Doing.
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, I was calling in on the Harriet Tubman movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
I went to see it, and I don't normally like to go see these, like, you know, slave movies and all that, but I had to go to see this one because it was Harriet Tubman, and I had to see how well it was done or not done. And I enjoyed the movie. The couple of things that people are bringing out as controversies,
right.
Noticed those in the movie. And, you know, left with, you know, those thoughts in my mind. But, you know, then I also thought about the fact that, hey, you know, it's Hollywood. And Hollywood is always trying to manipulate people's thinking. And, for example, the one scene, and I won't give it away, but there's the one scene that I call the Amber Geiger syndrome.
Uh-oh.
That's in the movie. And I'll just say that, and then you go see, people go see it, they can see if they'll figure it out. And the other thing that I like about the fact that this conversation is taking place about the things that people are bringing up about, the things that were not, you know, factual, is good because it's sending a message to producers in Hollywood that, look, we're not always just going to take what you all give us without giving some feedback. So the next time you all come with trying to do a movie about one of our historical figures, you better come correct, because we do know our history, and we're not just going to continue to let things slide by just because Hollywood wants to put their stamp on it,
right.
Their impression on it, which is what they do with things. They try to paint certain people in certain lights. And,
they do. They
and,
do.
And all. And that's television, that's Hollywood, and you understand that, and you deal with it. So I love the fact that this controversy has come out, and these people are, folks are speaking out against that.
No, I appreciate that. Oh, go ahead. Let me get you a second
real
thing.
Real quick on yes. Is the mural.
Yes.
Now, I haven't seen the Harriet Tubman mural in person. I've seen plenty of photos
powerful.
Of it.
Oh, it's powerful. Yeah.
But the one caller that said that he had somewhat of a problem with it because a white person.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like idiotic. I mean, so what? That is a powerful.
It is powerful. It is powerful.
Mural. That is like one of the most powerful murals I've seen of anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
And we just need to take it for that. I don't care if a Martian came down.
No, I'm with you.
And painted.
I'm with you. I will. I'll be honest with you. When I went and I saw it, I actually, tears came to my eyes because it was beautiful and powerful. And the idea of Harriet Tubman breaking through the brick wall, extending her hand to you. And what I got was that, you know, will you come? Not will you come with me, you know, doing slavery, but today, will you come and stand up for your people? Will you come and fight for your people? Will you not be comfortable if your people are suffering? That's what Harriet Tubman and that mural challenged me to do.
That's it. And the first time I saw it, it just popped up on my screen on social media, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's a wow moment. It's a wow moment.
So,
and it's a wow moment when young children stand before that big, powerful image of Harriet Tubman, and it blows them away. I mean, this whole thing was a white person. You know what? Forget that. Put that aside. The mural itself is powerful. That's what I like. I enjoy it.
Ignorant people. Yeah. I'm sorry to say that, Bob. You know, we can't be just totally like, you know, oh, yeah, it's great, but a white person did it, so I can't like it. Come on. I mean, it's just like somebody saying, well, yeah, you know, I don't like the NFL because too many people play. Come on. You know, I mean, it's like we can't think like that.
Please, come on,
we
folks.
We got to get beyond.
We got to get beyond and just enjoy it for what it is. All right, I got to thank you there. The time I got to move on to another call. Thank you so much. Who am I moving on to next? Mark from Pikesville. Mark, how are you? Hello, how are you, Mark?
Dr. K, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Dr. K, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, great. Okay. All right. how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm working on it.
Yeah, we need to take care of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
The ideas that you've been going over are serious,
And I was thinking about just the idea with the chicken. They have, they don't even call it chicken no more because they're genetically engineering the chicken.
Yes.
Chicken. It takes, I think, like 6 months to produce a chicken, and they've figured out a way to do it in 6 weeks. So the people that's producing the chicken for their family won't eat it. So that's why they call it KFC as opposed to Kentucky Fried Chicken, the way they used to call it chicken.
Right.
And Chick-fil-A. So that's one idea.
Yeah, you don't know what you actually don't know what you're actually eating.
Exactly. And to bear witness to it, you know, the children that eat it, after they blow them up like balloons, and 12-year-old girls look like models. And but they serve it in the restaurant.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Now I tell people to start thinking with their dollars. What are you giving your money to? What are you supporting? Because it does matter. I got to stop you there. Thank you so much, Mark. I want to throw in what DeBrandon Jews sent to me on Twitter. So we've got to disrupt the pipeline by following the mindset of LeBron and the boarding school. We African Americans have to reset the community with our youth. We have to reverse the access to the kids by parents who aren't fit to raise kids to greatness. Flip the whole switch. 5 days of the safe boarding school and 2 days of visit. Maybe we need to take some of these children as well. Brandon said, hey, maybe they need to be in boarding schools. That's a way of getting them out of their community, folks. We have Denise from Southwest Baltimore. Denise, how are you?
Hi, Dr. Kai. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to piggyback on what one of your previous callers has said in reference to, like, the schools, how they treat our black children, mainly our black male children. My nephew was going to one of the schools. He's a 25, going on 26 now. But when he was in elementary school, he went to a Catholic school. And even in the Catholic schools, you know, they set him up for failure, you know, and they tried to tell my sister, oh, he needs medication. He has a problem with learning. Wrong. And so my sister told my mom what they were saying about my nephew. My mother says, there's nothing wrong with that boy. Just like that. She said, don't you put him on nothing. My nephew graduated from college 2012 and is doing well.
There you go.
You know, and I tell anybody, you know, I share that story with a lot of my cousins who have young children, mainly boys. You know, don't let them tell you something wrong with him. He's just a normal young man, young boy. You know, he's just being a kid, you know. I said, and because my nephew is a testimony. My nephew is smart, you know. But that's all I just wanted to share because when she had said that, it just made me, you know, think about when my nephew was in school, you know. And I just, you know, and for this weekend, you know, my plan is to take my family to go see Harriet, you know, because that's something that we all try to do. We try to teach our kids, you know. It's good they have the schools and everything, but we teach our children first, you know.
There you go. I'm agreeing with you.
You know, we teach them, you know. I tell my daughter, you know, okay, that's fine and dandy, but let me tell you what the real thing is, what the real deal is, you know. And my daughter's the type, you know, when the teachers say something, she correct them in a minute.
There you go.
Know,
I'm going to stop you there. I appreciate you. Because you know what, folks? What we've come to understand, the best revenge is living well. That's how we get back. We make sure our children not just survive this system, but also thrive, folks. 410-319-8888. We have Gary on the phone from Baltimore County. Gary, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Yeah. Dr. K, I wanted to make about 3 points, if I can. It's it's getting tiresome with all the things that are happening and the things that we do to ourselves and the things that we are up against as a people to try to correct things and bring, you know, fairness to everything, because it's getting to a point, and I'm 68 years old.
Mm.
So I've been through an era where, you know, black is beautiful and this and we were growing and doing all these things, you know. And then to be almost back, like one of the callers said, back to that segregation again. And a lot of people don't realize that in an instant, overnight, we could, and I'm serious, we could be put back in chains again.
Mm.
I really believe that it might not happen, but it would be a battle, but it could happen. Now, with that said, politically, there was a few years ago, there was, have we done any, or is there planning in the state of Maryland, and I've heard you talk about it, where we present, here's the things that we need to do as a community and as a body of people that not only benefit us, but it can be a little bit more universal and bring in other groups that are, you know, in the same type of suffering, where we sit down and talk and come up with, for lack of a better word, a manifesto.
Right.
Or something that says, here's what we want done. And it's across the board. All of us agree. Let's not debate about
it. Right.
Let's all agree that this is what needs to happen. Because there's everybody's, because everybody's coming up with a different solution, but we get into arguments about what the solution
is.
Right,
right, right. And then we get people angry with us.
One.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
There's one right here. Let's write it down. Like you brainstorm on your job.
Yeah, I like
here's
that.
Here's one right here. Here's another one right here. And we actually have a conference, and maybe Morgan State is the lead university to have this conference. And then we move it around to Bowie, and
we
move it around to
Hobbit. We've been talking about this. Now, I will say this. We've been talking about this in terms of two things. The community summit, trying to get people together. But we've also talked about calling for a march in D.C., a Black people's call to action to come up with the said manifesto of this is what Black people want. Instead of having the system tell us what we want, why don't we lay out what we want and what we demand?
And I'd like to be involved in that.
Good.
But and also the other part of that is that we be inclusive. We bring in our Latino and Latina brothers.
Because
we won't
make it by ourselves.
Native Americans.
We just don't have the numbers.
Yeah, right.
You're right. You're right. It's about being inclusive.
Bring them in.
Right.
You know, because the Native Americans, they got a lot. Really, it's hard. I remember growing up, and when we first in the '60s, when we first started doing all of this, and I always had in the back of my mind, I said, you know, but the people that really almost got wiped out. I mean, they suffered an atrocity. I don't like to. You can't quantify it, but
when you talk about white and then slavery. Keeping them systematically.
Yes.
Tied down.
And then
I got to stop you there, girl. I'm so sorry. I got to stop you there. I want to make sure I get in these last two calls before we go. And I believe we'll go to Stephen first from Severn, Maryland. Stephen, how are you?
I'm well, Dr. K. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I just want to say I just came from the NAACP convention a couple weeks ago, and we did exactly that, where we introduced resolutions about what Black people wanted, and people from around the state voted on it. And I know people got issues with the NAACP, but guess what? That's what it does, and you can debate as much as you want, and it's an exciting time.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it is.
Fun.
It is.
And on the way back from there, all I wanted to say was that I saw the Harriet poster while I was driving through Cambridge, Maryland, and I was very excited. Made me feel good. So I hope to see maybe a Cab Calloway movie and it being advertised in the city, a Thurgood Marshall movie being advertised.
Right. Oh, yes.
And given
that's
the rest,
how we do it.
You know, that's what I want to see, is the rest of the heroes from the state of Maryland get recognized and lionized and whatnot, and we can feel that sense of pride.
Now, let me ask you, do we have time for one more call? We have Trayvon. Trayvon from Maryland. I can get one quick comment.
That I love your fundraiser. I love the fact that the jails and the penitentiary is talked about, and also you are my Harriet Tubman as a soul sister on the radio. I cried at that movie. Wake up, my people. Love you.
Love you too, buddy. Thank you so much. Folks, make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow at 3. Despite what Justina says, I am going to be back here in this seat tomorrow, and I expect for you to join me. This has been Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Again, thank you. Thank you, thank you for leaning in, for loving us, for seeing us, and for supporting us. We look forward to being with you tomorrow.